Hi there, welcome back to Adventures of the Airstream Oracle. Sorry about having to skip an episode or two, but last Sunday a week ago, I called my dad just to say hi. I'm pet sitting like 5 minutes away from their house. You know, not 45 minutes away where I live, but 5 minutes away. And I just say, hey, how are you? And he says, oh, we had a mess to clean up this morning. It's just, you know, basically my mom had fallen out of bed in the middle of the night and she's got some incontinence issues. And so instead of telling me that my mom spent the entire night on the floor, like 8 hours on the floor, unable to get up, he just bitches about what he had to clean up. And he didn't call me to tell me she fell. I was just calling them to invite him over for lunch to the house where I was pet sitting. So, needless to say, not super happy with my dad. Because it turns out, they also had neglected to mention that she had basically what looked like mumps on the left side of her face. This huge hematoma-looking thing had grown up over a period of a couple of days, and like my dad does, he ignores everything until it gets so bad you have to be incredibly reactive. Like, it just waits until, you know, it's just a point of no return, and then he goes, oh, I guess we should do something. So what we had to do, which was really scary, is I took her to the emergency room, even though we're in stage 5 of COVID again, and it's just rampant here. I had to take her to the ER, and she and I are both immune compromised. We both got the Johnson & Johnson, which is not very effective against COVID, this Delta variant especially, and we were exposed for like 8 hours. So I am, needless to say, not happy with my dad this week, and he's acting up like a third grader. So I am exhausted. It's testing every ounce of patience that I've got. But the interesting part, and where this ties into listening to the whisper, is I got a real clear whisper up front when I first got to my mom. Is I tied immediately the infection that she had into a dental cleaning that she'd had about not quite 3 weeks ago. I knew it was connected to that somehow. I didn't get a real clear reading on what it was or, you know, what the extent of it was, but that's what it was. And then when she fell out of bed and ended up on the floor, she hit that side of her face and she was laying, you know, kind of insult to injury, laying on that part of her face that was so messed up. All I needed to do was take her to the ER, even though we have been so careful and staying home and staying away from people and being like crazy cautious because of all my health issues and because mom is so frail. So I knew it was dental related, but I didn't get the rest of it. And then I questioned myself, which is so crazy. It's what I do for a living. I get these clear downloads for my clients that are just, you know, clear, crystal clear. And I know them to be true. But when it came to mom this time, I questioned it. Kind of like when I was taking care of this cat this week at the pet sitting house. I got a real strong intuitive knowing the first day I was there. And the woman that I was pet sitting for mentioned, yeah, we've got a couple of cats, but they're easy to deal with, no big deal. That was the intro that I got. I got there, and the second I touched the cat and I heard its frail meow, I picked her up. And she literally was skin and bones. She's one of those fluffy cats that, you know, if you weren't actively picking her up and didn't know to check her, you'd have no idea. But you could feel like every rib that she had, you know, every joint down her spine. I mean, everything. She was in trouble. And I mean, I literally texted my client and said, your cat is in active throes of dying. Like, she's starving to death. And I couldn't get any information from this woman, you know, until after the fact. So I just had to start trying to use my intuition for this cat and feel into what it needed and what could get it to eat and how to, you know, so I came over and dug through this big tub that I have of, you know, all kinds of things that I've used for my critters over the last 4 or 5 years. And my cat had gotten really sick and needed a lot of support the last 6 or 8 months of his life. So I had this calorie enhancer stuff. I had this Halo sprinkle stuff, sort of like Parmesan cheese for kitties, and it's a flavor enhancer. I did some research and got this boost stuff that's supposed to help cats for about a week as they rebound from like surgery or illness. And then I just had to start doing process of elimination. Like, this poor kitty, okay, can't eat solid foods, that comes back up. Can't eat crunchy food, that comes back up. What color is, you know, what's coming back up? Okay, let's figure this out. So I ended up making homemade boiled, you know, no seasoning, but boiled chicken and rice with organic pumpkin mixed in. And then some, I had to grind it all down to like basically pasta sauce consistency, because this poor kitty couldn't keep anything down. So there's, I think I picked up on an intestinal blockage, and then I reached out to my friend Kimberly, she's a full-on animal communicator. Like, that's her thing. You know, I can do it, but I haven't strengthened it. So I don't always, you know, I don't connect in the same way that she does. She can just look at their picture and start chatting with them. So she was kind enough to check in on the kitty. And she said, yeah, there's definitely an intestinal blockage. And I had picked up on the fact that the eating issue had started back in April. And I knew that it was related to all this construction that was happening at these people's house. And the owner said, well, you know, it's outside construction. Well, it doesn't matter. Cats are super sensitive. They don't like new things. They don't like new noises. That's why when you move somewhere, they'll hide sometimes under the bed or a couch for in closets for weeks. They just, you know, they like their routine. And so I picked up on, you know, the food issue started when the construction started. Well, Kimberly affirmed all of it. She's like, yes, it's definitely the construction. It's definitely one construction worker that comes inside a lot. Particularly, this cat does not like him. So make sure the cats have a place really far away from the construction that they can, you know, get to. So I didn't tell the homeowner, because I don't think we're on the same page with all this stuff. So I didn't say, hey, you know, I'm psychic and I knew some stuff and I ask an animal communicator. I just said, I've got a really strong hunch that this is, you know, an intestinal blockage. It's related stress-wise somewhat from, you know, the construction. Open up a closet, turn on some meditation music. So that's what I did all week, is I sat with that cat. I did a lot of Reiki, a lot of energy work on the kitty. I did a little energy work on the dog too. And they have a second cat that, bless her heart, has licked like half the fur, all the fur that she can reach. She's licked it off her body. But interestingly enough, I had Kimberly check with her too. She was really sweet and checked in on both of them. And she said, that cat's happy. And that cat seems miserable. She hides and she doesn't want anything to do with anybody. And she's got half her fur missing. And she just, I mean, to look at her, you'd be like, good grief, bless that kitty's heart. But Kimberly said, no, she's good. She's just distant. She likes where she is. She's used to her fur being that way. It's been that way for 6 or 8 years. She doesn't remember how she was before. Like, she doesn't need anything, you know, except maybe, you know, play the music. So I did. I played meditation music for her. I did a little Reiki on her too. But it was interesting working with Foxy, which was the cat that wouldn't eat, trying to feel into her and intuitively feel her energy. That I was so excited that I could do that. I could tell as her strength was starting to come back and like her meow got stronger and she got just more energized and more active. So it was pretty cool to figure out what it was that she needed and give it to her, and got her back on her feet and got her eating, which is great. And so I pre-made all this chicken and rice with all these supplements and this calorie enhancer stuff, and I made all these little tiny containers and put them in the fridge and put them in the freezer. So you know, if nothing else, the cat was just going to get a ton of calories and a ton of nutrient density for, you know, for a couple of weeks guaranteed. So I did, you know, my motto is to leave people, pets, and places better than I found them. So I definitely left, I left that household better than I found them. Also fixed their dishwasher and realized without being told, because they didn't tell me anything, I opened up the fridge at one point and it was on like 48 degrees and food's supposed to stay at like 38 to 40, I think. And so I messaged her, I was like, is your big fancy sub-zero fridge, is it on the fritz? And she's like, oh yeah, I forgot to tell you. It, yeah, you have to turn it off for 10 minutes. You have to do it a couple of times a day. Well, the thing was loaded with food, so I'm glad, you know, I'm glad I was making food in and out of the fridge so much, or they would have lost everything in that fridge and freezer, and it was packed. So that was that, and trying to deal with mom and coming back and forth to feed her and make her, you know, soups and things that she could eat and keep her on her meds and just get a bunch of stuff in place for her to help her, because it turned out what she had was my mom was a really bad jaw infection from the dental cleaning. She got a bad infection and it moved into her salivary gland of all things. So the mump like thing that was on that one side of her face, it was an infected salivary gland. And so I researched that a little bit and basically giving her, making sure she was really hydrated, giving her high end antibiotics, and then lemon drops, or letting her suck on lemon slices, that it makes that salivary response, you know, where you taste it and like all your taste buds go, ugh, and just, you know, squirt the salivation from, you know, from back in your throat. That's what she needed to do, kind of to reprime the pump. But I did get a really strong intuitive knowing while we were in the ER, they wanted to keep her overnight and put her on IV antibiotics and keep her for 24 hours and observe her and just keep the antibiotics going. And I just got a clear download. And luckily the doctor listened to me. I just looked straight at him and I said, I can't leave her in here. There's too much COVID. And somebody while we were there in the room next to us died of COVID. And the nurses were coming and going, and they weren't changing out their PPE. And one of them even came in without a mask on. I mean, it was a lot. And so my hackles kept going up and up and up. And so I looked at the doctor and I said, look, while we're waiting on lab work, hang a bag of IV antibiotics. Hang the best you got. Let's get a drip in her. Let's get it going. Then write me a script. Get me out of here. Because if this were your medically vulnerable mother in the midst of a COVID surge like we've got going on, because I think there's like 9 beds available for 2.3 million people in the Austin metro area right now. 9 ICU beds. Yeah, that's how bad it is. Like New York bad. So I just said, you know, I'm not leaving her. I don't mean to be rude, but we're not doing that. So it makes sense to me if we, you know, give her the IV antibiotics, get her out of here, and I'll keep really close tabs on her. And we did. And for a couple of days, you know, I was having to do the, okay, what's your pain level? And mom's got some dementia, and it gets worse when she's got an infection, or when, you know, when her viral loads up, or when she's toxic. So it was hard those first few days to, you know, get much out of her. But luckily, you know, we're a little over a week later, because it's Monday now that I'm recording this. You'll hear it on Tuesday. But so it's been about a week. She's doing a lot better, which is good. But I, of course, because I think I told you guys, I managed to stab myself. Maybe I didn't mention it. If I did, forgive me. If I didn't, I'll tell you real quick. You know, this is the dumbest thing. You know those plant watering testers where you test the soil to see if a plant's dehydrated or not? I hate them. I've always hated them. Now I know why. I had a premonition. They don't like me. I had one hanging in a bag on the Airstream door to take to a client, a pet sitting client who's kind of a plant killer. And I figured, you know, this would help her kind of learn to test her soil and figure out when to water. So I had it just hanging on a bag with some other stuff that I was going to take to her. And I came in with some groceries. I slammed the door behind me. I looked down and all of a sudden sticking straight out of my arm is this long pointy thing that looks like a really big, thick meat thermometer, basically, in a CVS bag. And both the bag and the pointy thing are just sticking straight in my right forearm. And I just looked down like, huh, what the hell? What's that? And so it didn't really hurt. It just was weird. My brain couldn't quite figure out what it was. Then I pull it out of my arm and of course it starts gushing. I'm like, well, that's neat. But luckily I've had enough, you know, first aid training that I kind of squeezed it. I let it bleed really well because it was a pretty deep puncture wound. Then I put peroxide on it and a little bit of Neosporin and let it air out and let it start to dry. And it's fine now, but for a couple of days it was kind of iffy. And about, this is another one of those good intuitive things that I listen to. It happened, you know, like 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And so midnight, maybe, I sit straight up in bed with this download of, hello, did you ever think about getting a tetanus shot? So I get on Dr. Google and poke around for a minute and I'm like, yeah, I don't remember when I had one last. I think it was like 2016 maybe when I got my last tick bite, my last, you know, Lyme bug bite. But I can't remember for sure. So as much as I didn't want to go to a doc in the box, I went and I got, but this is the cool thing about Primacare. You can make an appointment in the middle of the night. So I filled out all the paperwork. I put all my insurance in. I did everything. I got my appointment squared away and they called me, you know, right when they opened. So I got in before anybody got there. So I was feeling pretty good about that. But, you know, then a week later, here I am in the ER, just surrounded by, there were probably 50 to 60 people in the waiting room at one point, and the bulk of it was COVID, and we were in the middle of it. So, I don't know, I had a little reaction to the tetanus shot, because, you know, having autoimmune illness, you never know what your body's going to do with something. And so I've been really kind of beat up from that, and then from the stress of mom and trying not to kill dad because he just doesn't pay attention and is no help. And now he's just being a big baby about a lot of stuff. So I'm just having to take a big deep breath. And I'm back over here. I've been pet sitting a couple of different houses. I haven't been home in like 2.5 weeks to sleep in my own bed. So, but I'm at mom and dad's now, cleaning out stuff, cleaning out the garage, trying to get ready, because guess what I was supposed to do this week, because I told y'all this is how life works for me. I was going to be doing my taxes, right? I was going to be getting ready to file my bankruptcy. Well, none of that got to happen. And if you could see the guest room that I'm in right now with all my pet sitting stuff and all the junk sitting around, you'll understand why I spent half the day today cleaning out the garage, my stuff out there to find my tech stuff, and I'm going through stuff in my room. I'm just going to take a couple of carloads of stuff to Goodwill tomorrow and clean out some clutter and some spaces, lay the groundwork, and start over. I'm going to go home for a couple of days though, because I'm tired. I'm like bone tired. But all that being said, y'all keep me and my mama in your prayers, because man, neither one of us need to get this stupid virus. We've been so careful, and I just would really, really, really appreciate the love and good energy to just keep us healthy, because she seems really good. She seems like she's thriving, but, you know, kind of a 14-day incubation thing. We're just over, I guess we're at 8 days now, so fingers crossed. But anyway, long one today. Sorry. I just seem kind of stream of consciousness trying to catch you guys up on stuff. But moral to the story is I tried to question all of my intuitive hits this last couple of weeks because I was so tired, but they were still coming through anyway. So hindsight, I looked at it and went, huh, yeah, bonehead, it's still good. It's still good for you. You just need to pay attention. So it's just funny how you forget that your intuition can work for yourself and for your family. Like, I'm totally confident with my clients. No issues at all. I know it's a direct link that I'm getting for them, but I forget to trust that for me. Just so goofy. But anyway, that is my story for today. I'm gonna go to sleep now. I did get to take an Epsom salt bath the last several nights, and while I was pet sitting this last house, the last couple of houses have had really great bathtubs, so that has been a beautiful thing. I have been trying to soak in salts and just let a lot of stuff go, and it's really been helping me. So if you don't do Epsom salt baths, please, 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 if you're energy sensitive at all, do it, because they're awesome. Anyway, that is it for today. I'm going to let you guys go, and as always, thank you so much for listening to me. I appreciate you, and I love you, and I'll see you next time. Take care. If you'd like to get in touch with me, there's a couple of ways to do that. You can find me on Instagram at @airstream_oracle, or you can email me at hello@shannonpinkston.com. I do one-on-one intuitive energy work, which basically means I will read into you energetically and intuitively, and I can really quickly find what has shut you down, the places where you're stuck, any place that you're in overwhelm, or connect the dots for you on a whole lot of things that bring you joy that you might have forgotten, that can lead you to your greater purpose and what really lights you up in the world. I'm able to do that really quickly for my clients, and I also provide like sacred energy wellness support and tips, and use my medical intuition to help, you know, figure out some of the places of dis-ease and contraction in your body. A lot of my clients have called me the joy whisperer, because they come into my sessions shut down and closed down and kind of contracted, and they end up leaving open and bright and sparkly and with a clearer, you know, path to their purpose and what makes their soul sing. So if any of that resonates with you, reach out. You can also find me on Facebook if you'd like to be part of my Facebook group. It's Dragonfly Energy Wellness and Empath Support. You can search for it, and we play intuitive games in there. We do a lot of energy support, and you know, I come on and read oracle cards for my group, and just do whatever I can to connect us, you know, in deep conversations and things that matter. So if that resonates with you at all, any of the above, reach out. I'd love to hear from you. And as always, thank you so much for listening.